This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello, and welcome to Wet Smoke Kings Meadow, the podcast that follows the usually fantastic Chelsea FC women's team. And our Chelsea's fourth and final home match in February saw the visit of Manchester City to Kings Meadow for a top-of-the-table clash. A win for Chelsea would see them extend their lead to 6 points and put one hand on another WSL title. A win for City would blow the title race wide open. City, hot from their FA Cup win away at Arsenal the week before, pressed fast and high, and with Jess Park capitalising on a rare Aaron Cuppen mistake to feed Bunning Shaw, who put the visitors 1-0 up after just 15 minutes. And Chelsea came back, and when Myra Ramirez was hacked down by Alex Greenwood, Kings Meadow waited for the whistle that never came. The home side huffed and puffed, but the equalising goal, much like the penalty decision, never came, giving City their first away win over Chelsea in 13 games and ending the Blues' 22-match unbeaten home run and blowing the WSL title race wide open. And the title of tonight's show, Went to Kings Meadow, episode number 122, is Don't Look Back in Anger, which hopefully we won't be doing as we go through the show tonight. That I'm your host, Dean, and joining me this week, I've learned the bad luck duo, and we'll tell you why in a minute, but first up is Sir Simon Kingman. Simon, good to see you.
Yeah, evening Dean, evening Matt, evening everyone. Sort of looking forward to tonight in a weird sort of way. Hope it cheers us up a little bit.
Hopefully. I think Simon will be giving away the second guest there, Mr. Matt Ball. Matt, good to see you, mate. How you doing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm good personal life-wise, but obviously Chelsea, they like to give you bad news just when you don't need it. So I'm good otherwise.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised they've announced this before the deadline of Kings Meadow Chronicle, issue 10. So there's more bad news to come. Just got to wait for the deadline to pass. But Simon, you was revealing why you and Matt are a bit of a bad luck duo.
Yeah, we were both on the show that followed the dreaded Arsenal game back in December.
Yeah.
So I apologise, everyone.
Yeah, I don't know if that's my fault then for putting you both on together.
Yeah.
Or your two fault for being available together. I think I'll stick the blame on you.
Well, to be fair, the Champions League game, Real Madrid, us three were together and that was fine. So maybe for Champions League, it's all right.
Yeah, we'll take that. Ajax will be together. We'll get to why Simon's to blame anyway later in the show. Now remember, if you want to listen along to the show live, you can by heading to Mixlr. That's mixlr.com and searching for Went to Smoke Kings Meadow, where you can join in the show by posting on the live chat page, as Buffer already has in there tonight. Good evening, Buffer. Post your comments as we go, and I'll help bring you into the show and get your opinions across as well. And if you are listening on the Went to Smoke Kings Meadow platform, please make sure you leave a nice 5-star review for us to feel good about ourselves when we're talking about a defeat for Chelsea. On the show tonight, in part one, we're going to look back at that defeat by Manchester City. And in part two, We're going to ask what it means to the WSL and recap the sad news today about my official injury and her ACL on international duty. We're going to do all that just after this. Straight into the action then. Chelsea lining up for this one in a 4-4-2 formation with Hannah Hampton in goal, Ashley Lawrence, Jess Carter, Nathalie Bjorn and Neve Charles as a back four. Frank Kirby, Manny Leupolz, Aaron Cupp and Guru Wrighton played across the midfield with Lauren James and Mayra Ramirez in attack. Emma Hayes made four substitutions, bringing on Aggie Beaver-Jones and Yahatirit Kanrid for Guru Wrighton and Frank Kirby in the 63rd minute. In the 72nd minute, Cherkin Nuskin came on for Ashley Lawrence. And in the 79th minute, Jelena Cankovic came on for Menly Leupolz. That left Ciro Muzovic, Sophie Ingle, Yves Perisset, Mara Miyada and Khadija Buchanan as unused substitutes. Stats-wise, Chelsea with 60% possession, 17 shots, 6 on target, 9 fouls and 10 corners to Manchester City's 40% possession, 12 shots, 5 on target, 3 fouls and 4 corners. So when we previewed this game last week, we was one away with the predicted lineup, and that was Kirby coming in for Kamrid. We did predict that Chelsea would play the 4-4-2 actually when they didn't have the ball, which they did. But it kind of got me thinking as we saw that first half unfold that I don't think you need Kirby and James together at the same time.
No, both sort of similar players. Kamrid frustrated me a bit at the moment. Brings something different to the team in her pace and perhaps ability to beat players, but then that final ball was lacking. But yeah, I mean, something not, I don't know, there's something not quite right with Fran at the moment. He doesn't seem to be clicking for her. I know we spoke about it before, didn't we, whether it's the injuries and the illness and age sort of creeping up on her a bit.
Yeah, I just think that yard's gone.
Yeah.
It can be showing. And I know they swapped her for Lauren during the first half on that right-hand side. Matt, what did you make of the lineup? And
yeah, I mean, I was a little bit confused with the 4-4-2 in general. I just thought with how City liked to play and to keep the ball back, I would have preferred to have an extra midfielder from the start. Again, like you guys said, I felt Fran and Lauren would almost play into similar. But like Simon said, Canary, I just feel, hasn't taken the opportunity. She does, yes, she, as Simon said, does offer something different, but she's not taken that opportunity as much as I'd like her to. And I think that's why that almost that one position is always posing a different question of who's there, who's not. Personally, I would have just stuck another midfielder in there. But we went with 4-4-2 and it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, Simon, we saw this 4-4-2 against Everton a few weeks back now when Chelsea was struggling with their Everton's 3-4-3 setup. It worked that day, but obviously Man City are a different kettle of fish when it comes to opposition. And then, I mean, you could tell from quite early on that it just wasn't working and that Chelsea needed to switch things up. And I don't know if it was sort of a stubbornness or the coaches obviously didn't feel the same, but that City midfield three really dominated that opening half.
It did. Jess Park in particular seemed to sort of just have the freedom of the pitch, didn't she? Just bossing things all over the place. I think we were all calling for it, an extra bod in midfield. Took a long while to bring on Nuskan, didn't it, and sort of bolster it a bit, but they were just really weird to see them playing like it, wasn't it? They just running through us, and seeing that first half that Bunny Shaw, every time she got through, she was running through, and just the power But yeah, Jess Park was really, really good.
Yeah, best player on the pitch for me, Jess Park.
Yeah,
and obviously they had Hasegawa sat at the base, and then they pushed Laura Coombs and Jess Park really high occupying Leupolz and Cuthbert. And Matt, that was where the goal comes from. Cuthbert gets the ball and Park initiates that press, sort of the trigger press. Robbed her of the ball after a bit of a bad touch. Really sure and City 1-0 up. And for me, I watched the goal thinking, I've seen Chelsea score that goal so many times. Struggled to see why they didn't see it coming.
Yeah, it was such a poor goal to concede. And it's frustrating because City actually, in the grand scheme of things, didn't really have many other chances apart from that. So if it was that simple of just not getting caught out like that, we may not even have lost the game and we wouldn't be talking about potentially title race. We'd be talking about a much better title race, for us at least. But yeah, it was just a very silly mistake from Cuthbert. And I've kind of been on the controversial train of, I don't think Cuthbert, she's had a good period in the last few weeks, month. I don't think she's had the best of seasons. Not to say that deserves her to be dropped. I think with her and Leopold, I find is probably our best combination. But it was just such a poor goal to concede. And considering it's the goal we normally score, it's just frustrating that we didn't know better that this was going to happen. And it is a product of having two people in midfield apart from three, because then they've got an extra man to press Hounders in and not have to worry about the counter-attack themselves.
Yeah, I mean, Sam, I know you're a huge Erin Cuthbert fan, as am I. I know she started the season slow, but I think she's really grown into it. But it was the extra touch she didn't need, and she needed to get the ball off sort of straight away. I don't know if there's a lack of communication, but, you know, she's wearing the armband. She's the captain. She takes responsibility for it. And I know it sort of felt like that affected her for quite a bit of that first half, that mistake.
I think it did, yeah. Yeah, I think it sort of got into her head a bit, didn't it? And she wasn't, yeah, not very Erin-like. I think it was a moment, I know it's a bit later on, but in the second half where her and Leupolz just collided together, and I thought that summed our midfield up and our day up, really, in one little cameo.
Yeah, she had the chance as well the second half to equalise, just went past the post.
Yeah, things would have been different, I suppose, then, wouldn't they? That chance from Kirby as well, we would have been talking about a different game.
Yeah, and especially, I suppose, Matt, when it comes to the penalty or the non-penalty, as we'll call it, Ramirez winning the ball at Greenwood. From where I sit, I weren't sure, because obviously the game is moving quite fast. We got messages straight away that it's a penalty. Watch it back on the stream as we sit there. Don't know how the ref misses this.
Yeah, I mean, it's the most obvious penalty that there could be. It's ridiculously obvious. I don't want to criticise the decision so much, purely because if we look back to the last Man City game, there were decisions that went against City and, well, chaos in terms of the red cards. So arguably we got away with a point against City last time, so I'm not going to. In the end, it's all evened out slightly. Man City didn't get their win, got a draw last time, and now they've got their win, and we didn't get the draw this time. So it's all evened out, but it should have been a penalty nonetheless.
Yeah, I mean, Simon, I made the point when we played Everton and we got the two penalty decisions, which I think were both correct. Some players were tweeting about it, including one that plays for Manchester City, obviously criticising a referee in public and then their team famous for a bad decision. It's just not a good look for the league, is it?
No, that was the Esme Morgan one, was it?
Yeah,
sort of got back and saw that and wondered what had gone on and sort of couldn't remember that she'd done that before, but no, it's not good, not good.
What did you make of the decision? So obviously you're a bit far away than me.
Yeah. You could see that they collided and then other people had sort of looked at it on their phones. And then shortly afterwards, there was a free kick, wasn't there? Was that Cuthbert as well gave away a free kick?
Yeah,
And
sure.
it looked to us, yeah, it looked to us as though it was exactly the same foul, but that's it. They seem to forget that sometimes, don't they, officials, that it can still be a foul in the box and a penalty. But then when you see it again, yeah, definite penalty.
Yeah, also heard lots of complaints that Keating was handling the ball outside her box when she was kicking the ball.
Yeah.
Well, that's sort of line of the box. Was that correct? Or
one of the guys, he normally sits in the north stand, but he was sitting in block F. Is that where you guys are?
I'm the next one on block G.
And he was speaking to us about that. And he said, how can you yellow card James for obstruction when she's bringing the ball out? I think I'd lost the plot by then anyway, to be honest with you. And I was screaming at the Lions lady there.
Yeah, although I am a bit with Matt. I don't like to blame the refs too much. I think we have to find a way. And I thought that first half, Matt, was just a real struggle. I mean, I tweeted about 20 minutes in, I think there should be a change. Because that 4-4-2 wasn't working at all, because City occupied the two midfielders with the two midfielders and had a spare player the whole time. I mean, what would you have done differently? Matched them up, or maybe put a diamond midfield in? I know it's easy with hindsight and we're not in the moment, but
yeah, I mean, I definitely would have added. I mean, if I me as a manager, like in my kind of ideology of it, I would be quite ruthless at the point. If it's not working, I would make a change. I don't like this whole thing of let's wait till half time because the game could be gone by then. If it depends on how bad the call is, I would have brought on an extra man, a woman, to have in the midfield, because it's just clear that it wasn't working. City's plan was to just make sure, as long as that midfield, as long as that central part of the pitch is under control, Chelsea can have it on the wide as much as they want. It's not going to work. And in the end, it did just seem that we were just constantly peddling balls in and we weren't actually getting much out of it. So I would have made a change, bringing on someone at least to go into that attacking midfield just to cause Man City some threats in that defensive midfield role, because it was just so easy for them to pass the ball around, not really getting threatened too much. I would have definitely up the press a little bit more, just to put some pressure on them, let them make mistakes, because it just seemed too easy for Man City on the ball. And that was better in the second half to some extent, but that was partially, I think, also because City were just thinking, let's just sit back and hold this lead a little bit. We don't need to push forward, and they'll create gaps themselves trying to get the goal, which we did in a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, Simon, that's a question I've got a couple of questions on now. I think we'll bring it up now because Matt's mentioned it. You know, about it helping that City decided to sit off and let us attack. I mean, 60% possession against Man City is not to be sniffed at, but it almost felt like one of those where we never had control of the match.
No. It was one of those games and I'm sitting there thinking who was on the bench, and I don't know, it's hindsight again, isn't it? But would Ingle coming in, would she have made a difference? Perhaps been able to keep the ball a little bit and sort of disrupt their play. We were sort of analysing it on the way home and Dylan said, you know, as bad as we were, you just have to look at City and say that they perhaps did deserve it and played better, a bit more organised than us, which is very unusual to say, really. But say, I wouldn't have thought Emma would be scared of making changes if she'd seen it wasn't working, so.
Yeah, I mean, the two changes she did make, Matt, Camrid and Aggie Beaver-Jones, Kirby and Rightenhoff, who I thought were two players that had invisible games, let's say. I mean, that's where City's weak is, that out wide, because they do play centrally, and they have their attacking players so high up the pitch that they don't defend. If you want to get the better of City, is behind them. And I thought they did make an impact in the game, Camrid and Nagy, although not enough.
Yeah, I think almost them changes, that while they were positive in terms of they were better than Kirby and Wrighton coming on, it was still almost that similar shape. And it just, I felt that the shape itself wasn't working. I think once we brought kind of Nuskin on and it kind of changed the shape up a little bit, you saw like the game was starting to change a little bit. And maybe if we had a little bit more time and that change was made earlier, potentially we may have eventually found the goal, like kind of last game. We equalised late on. But yeah, I think on Brighton, I think since she's kind of come back from her injury, I feel like she hasn't exactly been the same player, whether again it's struggling to find her feet with fitness. I don't think she's been nowhere near as impactful as she was before, which I think Brighton has been such a big impact in the last year or so. So I think we're desperate, especially when we haven't got someone like Sam Kerr right now. We need a fully fit and firing Gura Brighton.
Yeah, just on Brighton, Simon, because it's an interesting one. I mean, I agree with Matt, she's not looked herself, but I also would say she's asked to play inside a lot more now than previously. And her best stuff for me is always when she's out wide, getting crosses into the box and making a difference that way. It seems a bit pointless when you've got a player like Ramirez up front to I don't want to say not get the ball in the box, but have your best crosser central, which helped Man City.
Yeah. I know we'd sort of spoken about it before, about her not playing as well. And I'd not really noticed it as much until you'd said that the other week about playing inside more. And it's definitely hampered her. I mean, the couple of seasons, she's been our best player, isn't she? And first name on the team sheet. But now you're questioning whether she should be playing. Should one of the others get a chance? I'd also thought it was, you don't realise what you've got until it's not there, do you? But whether it was more of a mere official game as well, sort of knock the ball up to her, where we missed her. She was already gone, though, wasn't she, to the US? But
yeah. I mean, every flavour being on Mixlr, Guru benefits so much from Sam as well, that Sam's absence makes her seem less effective. And I think that could be the case for the whole team, to be honest. Sam scoring goals at the rate she does. Everyone obviously will seem a lot better. But obviously Guru and Sam do have a great relationship on and off the pitch. I mean, I mentioned crosses, Matt. I looked it up on Y Scout just before we started recording this. 25 crosses in this match, 37 in the reverse fixture at City. Obviously where we did get the goal in the end. It just, to me, felt like we'd run out of ideas so quick. And it was just like, try and try again. I was surprised to see like Bjorn got up front and something like that, just like they used to do with Billy Bright, and try and get something. But, you know, I don't feel that Keating really, apart from that Kirby chance in the first half, really had to do much in the second half in terms of great goalkeeping.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't test her enough, and you're right, we almost seemed to just give up. We ran out of ideas, and I don't know, again, like we mentioned it with Sam obviously being out, and that whole kind of attacking front line just seems like they don't know how to play with each other anymore. Whether that is, obviously, you've got Ramirez, and Ramirez doesn't speak a lot of English, so it's hard to communicate and gel a bit more. Obviously Mia and Aggie, even though they've been in and around the club since the summer, they're still gelling in. Everyone, there's no option that's been here for a while that knows these players and knows every striker option at the moment. I feel like they're not quite in sync, and I feel that that's fine when you're playing some of the lesser teams in the division, even kind of Man United, who are not playing very well at all at the moment. But it seems as soon as we're coming up against the big teams, without Kerr now, it's just the fact that this attack does seem in sync. I worry that we're not going to score enough goals against these teams.
Yeah, I mean, Simon, it feels like it's been a while since we've really, you know, blown a team away and totally destroyed them. And the point that Matt makes about Ramirez, when we conceded, I noticed Jess ran up to Ramirez and started talking to her as if it was her fault we conceded. It was a bit like, well, the goal didn't come from there. It came from a bit further back. But as Matt said, so it does seem to be a little bit off kilter. which is strange for a team that's just lost twice, once to Arsenal, once to Man City, to say.
Yeah. I mean, we'd not before Christmas, wasn't it? Really, we hadn't played well then. We'd lost to Arsenal and struggled in another game. It's strange, is it? I don't want to say it, but is it Emma leaving? Has that affected them in more ways than we would like to think? I would hope not. I would hope that they're all professionals and she's a professional, but it does. They don't seem to be the same team as they were towards the end of last season, really. They struggled sort of coming into this season a bit and then sort of found a bit of a purple patch with a few games, but yeah.
I think it's possible since the news broke.
Yeah. Yeah, that was probably the last game, wasn't it, that we played? That was Aston Villa, wasn't it? And we smashed them.
Yeah.
But we played for any purpose, really.
We could end up with absolutely nothing this season. But let's not look back in anger, as I said earlier.
Saka. Why don't we sack her now while we've still got a chance?
Don't know if we've got a replacement yet. When we win, I usually do a player of the match poll. When we lose, I don't bother. But I mean, Matt, for me, the standout player was Hannah Hampton, who made a few good saves, kept us in the game, which is always a sign of a bad performance when your goalkeeper gets player of the match. Partly why I didn't want to do a poll, but anyone else sort of stand out for you, or who would have been your pick?
Probably would agree with Hannah Hampton, to be honest. I think there's not really anyone out on the field that deserve to even be nominated. I mean, props to Ramirez. I think she did put a lot of effort in. It just, again, didn't feel like she was sinking. She was trying too much to do herself at times, but there was bright sparks there. So I'd say she was one of the better players outfield. But yeah, Hannah Hampton deserves it 100%.
Yeah, Simon, what about you? Because you can't give it to Aaron today, surely.
No, I wasn't going to vote this week out of principle for the abuse I got on last week's show, to be honest. I think I would have given it to Eve Perisay because she didn't stop running, warming up.
And after the match. no player of the match poll. And then I think now is the time to sort of reveal why Chelsea lost. And you know, it's a bit of a running joke where we sit and on the show about Jane's lucky wheeze. To be fair, Jane got up and tried. Lucy got up and tried. My other cousin Amy got up and tried. I got up and tried for a lucky wee. Nothing. We lost the game. Got back home. Turn on Facebook. And what do we see? But a picture of Simon's lucky shirt on the bed. Because he forgot to wear it.
Yeah, I'd had a week off last week and then everything was pointing towards Friday night, under the lights, Man City, Chelsea, so excited, getting ready and everything. And yeah, forgot to put my shirt on.
Yeah,
got
Matt,
back.
Just saw it there.
We'll just have to sack Simon for that.
So I'm sorry. Sorry, everyone.
Yeah, that's why you shouldn't have a week off, because you know, postmen always deliver as soon as you don't. All goes to the pot.
Just losing my mind. Getting to that as well, I think.
We're going to have to let Dylan and Verity take over the podcast, I think.
Yeah.
Get some fresh ideas on the show. If we can't get fresh ideas on the pitch. We're going to go for a break now. When we come back, we're going to talk about what this means for the WSL title race and that mere official injury as well. Just a quick comment on that. Before we do that, a reminder that the last few copies of issue 9 are available of Kismet Chronicle. I think there's 7 left, and there's 4 issue 8s available for £1 for issue 9 and 50p for issue 8. If you do want to get your hands on the copy, head to kismetchronicle.bigcartel.com. Issue 10 is being published right now. It will be available in time for the Leicester City game at the start of March. If you want to get your copy of that, please make sure to subscribe. It's the quickest way you'll get your copy, because there's quite a few away games in March before we have copies on sale at Arsenal on Friday the 15th, unless of course Chelsea men get drawn at home in the FA Cup, in which case our game will get booted into the long grass, unfortunately. The link for all that will be left in the description box. We'll be back for part two of...
Chidge!
JK! In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chidge, I'd be bereft. Inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live. It's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great. But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across six devices. It's a bargain, JK. And best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Jidge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/Chelsea Fancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
For this short break. Welcome back, golf part two of Wet Smokey's Meadow, episode 122. Check that's right. Now, obviously, as we mentioned at the start of the show, Matt, a win for Chelsea would have seen us gone 6 points clear. Probably one hand on the title. The defeat, you know, City level on points. In the WSL, Arsenal just three behind that, I think. Could be wrong, I haven't looked at the table. But it has, unfortunately, blown the title race wide open.
Yes, it's. I mean, it's made. First of all, it's made that Arsenal game a very tasty, but very at the same time horrible, nervous match because that is the big game, really. I think what worries me at the moment is how Chelsea. I mean, you look at the bit the top the top two with us, Arsenal, City. We got 1 point out of six against City. Arguably, we probably should have lost all six. And we got completely smacked against Arsenal in December 4-1. It's just a sign that maybe are we lacking, especially now we haven't got Kerr and potentially now we haven't got Fisher either. Are we going to lack that kind of killer instinct against these big teams that are going to match us in terms of quality? And is that going to just bite us at the end, at this crucial point of the season, especially when we've got Champions League, Arsenal and City don't. They have a little bit more rest than us. It's the first time in a long time that I'm worried a little bit that we don't go over the line with this.
Yeah, Simon, I mean, not many teams win the WSL and lose more than two games, if ever. I think we've lost to two now. It means you have to be perfect between now and the end of the season. And we all know how difficult that's going to be. What's your thoughts on what this means for us and the WSL?
Makes it exciting for everybody else, isn't it? But we're not interested in everyone else, are we? Sky TV and BBC and fixtures. We've just got to win, haven't we? But that's right, easier said than done. Leicester away and what else we got? Villa at home, Bristol at home, Man United away. If it comes down to that game, is old Mark Skinner going to want to have one last little bit of limelight against Emma? Oh, it's just not worth thinking about it, is it really? we'll win.
Yeah,
well, it's just game.
I run through March's fixtures because it is. We've gone from four games in February to Leicester away, Man City away in the Conti Cup semi-final, Everton away in the FA Cup quarter-final, Arsenal at home in the WSL, then Ajax away in the Champions League, West Ham away in the WSL, Ajax at home in the second leg in the Champions League, and then Tottenham away on the 31st of March. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games in, I think, 28 days, which is quite a ridiculous length of time. Matt, just every few days another fixture, and sometimes that can be good for momentum, but you know, it's going to take a lot out of this squad, this run, isn't it?
Yeah, and especially when you've got players that are out for the rest of the season, so there's less bodies there. You've got people coming back, but they're not fully fit. Obviously, it's good that people like Kat are going to get some game time. There's a lot of opportunity to get game time and build that fitness. But I worry that the depth is, especially in the top areas, the quality of the depth is just washing away and having all these games. And it's not like the Cup. I mean, Ajax is a little bit easier, but we've got City in the Cup. We've got hard games. We've got in this space, we've got Arsenal, Tottenham and City again. To face it's a tough run, and we've just got to try and push through it the best way we know how, and that's just being Chelsea women.
Yeah, just looking back to last season, Simon, we beat United in March, and I think that gave us a bit of a gap at the top. We lost to City away then, in between the Champions League quarter final, and then went the rest of the season unbeaten in the league. Anyway. Including that 2-0 against Arsenal the week before the season finished. Just feels right now, I don't know if that's because it's just happened, it does feel a little bit different this year.
It does, yeah. I think it's the expectation as well, and knowing, like you said, it's Semmers last season, and it's our trophy, isn't it? We want to make it five in a row. Do we play a weakened team against City in the Conti Cup? But then we want to win everything, don't we? I suppose that's the one, isn't it? That you would take defeat in and then give them... It's only one game. So it's so difficult. Let's just all be positive. Try and stay positive.
Well, to be that, you know, Man City and Arsenal, the two rivals, both have to go unbeaten as well. And obviously... Arsenal had to play both us, City and Chelsea. And City have got United on the 23rd of March. They got Arsenal at home. These are both home games for City on the 5th of May. Obviously, by the time we play United, I think most things will be decided and Skinner might be out of a job by then as well. So I don't think there's too much on that game as such. But do you think there'll be more ups and downs in this title race, or... Because City like to finish the season really strong, and they have done for a number of years.
Yeah, I mean, it's not over now. I don't think either City or Chelsea are going to go unbeaten. I think there will be a team that wins the WSL with three defeats. I think we will lose something, but I think City will lose something. It'll be interesting if it does go to the final game, and obviously we're playing United. If it's us and City tied. Would Man United really want to win a league for City if there's nothing left to play for? Hopefully, United could do us a favour in that game and shift a few goals. But as you said, if Skinner, I think the way Skinner's playing this with United at the moment, I think I'd rather Skinner there, to be honest.
Yeah, do you think if they're out of Europe, they got nothing left to play for? They would have pulled that trigger, especially with new owners. Or a new sporting owner in place at the club. But we'll see. I mean, some of the other thing I see today online is that the bookies make the City favourites for the title. Do you think that's because of the Champions League impact that we've got?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, just those extra games that we've got to play. Goal difference is the same as well, isn't it? I've just looked at that. So it's. But then if they've got to play Arsenal... So
the 5th of May, yeah.
It's going to be a tense finish, yeah. just looking at it.
We'll
be all right.
What did you make of being the favourites of the bookies? Match really much into that, or do you think it's the fixtures, schedules, and
I think it's easy to say that City are favourites now because they've just beaten us and they've drawn at level and they have the momentum. Chelsea have a lot of games. It's very easy to make them odds go in City's favour, but I don't really pay too much attention to them because at the end of the day, you can't predict football.
No, although we like to try. Simon, I would have said, a good time for an international break is after a defeat because it gives you time to reflect, not make any rash decisions, get over it, come back feeling a little bit fresh, a little bit stronger. But very sadly, me official has torn her ACL, out with the United States for the Gold Cup. Obviously, she's going to miss that and the rest of the season now. She just sort of just starting to get a place in the team, I think, get her feet settled under the table. That's going to be a big loss for us, especially with Sam already out with the same injury.
It will, yeah. Not seen the best of her yet, have we, really? It's just such a shame. We've gone sort of however long we've gone without having one, and then we lose Annika Nguyen, don't we, on the international duty, Amir on international duty, and then Sam, warm weather, training camp. It's devastating for her. Hopefully, Cap Cario. Emma says she was coming back. She should be sort of making an appearance after the international break. So hopefully we see her and see what she's all about. But yeah, just really feel for Mia.
Yeah, I'll just bring some comments in from Mixler. We've got Johnny Superfran. I would like to say now we only had a Man City and Arsenal just by the skin of our teeth. We've got to win every game now without excuses and not allow any opponent like Arsenal to flaw the momentum of retaining the title. Now with me official out, the ACL injury like Sam and Nick, it's going to be more difficult and harder. I need to be careful to keep the players, more importantly, for future games between now and the end of the season. Buffer said, fuck the Conti Cup. So, a point well made there. Beck says, the official injury is such a blow, a lot more pressure on Myra in particular now. The lost spirit of Jesse Fleming, my favourite Mixler user name. I've got my fingers crossed that Cat will have the same impact that Panilla did in the final third of last season. Which Johnny agrees with about Cap Macario. And Matt, a lot of pressure on Myra and Cap now, obviously coming in out of the cold from her injury, to provide goals for Chelsea with Sam and now Mia out as well.
Yeah, and I think they've got their own problems. I was explaining to a friend on message earlier that obviously Myra, she's got the language barrier, which does make it harder to fit in, to gel with your teammates, to know exactly what to do. Obviously, that will get better over time, but this is the pressure point when we need her firing now. We need everything. We need everyone gel together now. And again, Kat, she can speak the language and she can communicate with her teammates, but she's miles away in terms of fitness. She will be fit and match fit technically, but as we can see with Fran, as we can see with Wrighton, and they've had much smaller injuries problems than Cats have really, and they're struggling. And I think it's a lot of pressure to put on Cat coming back, coming into a new league that she's never played in before, to come in and do the business straight away. I think it's happening all at the wrong time for Chelsea. I think if we had Cat fully fit and back, then I wouldn't be worrying so much. If we had Myra, who was here and had been gelled into the team a bit more, again, I wouldn't be worried. But I think when we've got both these problems, I think it's going to be an interesting way to see how Emma deals with this. And I hope that the solution is not putting Lauren James off a false nine, because for me, again, that's, I think, something that I feel doesn't work and doesn't get the best out of arguably our best player on the pitch.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, some, just to sort of echo some of the points from Matt there, putting that pressure on Cap Macario, who hasn't played in the league, hasn't played for the club. You never know what the player's going to come back from injury like. seems to be a bit unfair, but there is going to be pressure on her shoulders to hit the ground running, isn't there?
There is, yeah. It's make or break, isn't it? Will she come back and be the player that we hope she is? It's just so difficult. Sort of wishing Millie back as well and just stick her up front like Emma's done, sort of 90 minutes, 80 minutes if we'd needed a goal. Just put it to Millie. I don't know. It's the worst possible timing. Hopefully Ramirez will get a couple of penalties in games as well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Mia spent a lot of time in Mexico, would obviously speak Spanish, would have been a good conduit for Mayra Ramirez. I'm now obviously not going to be training. So another lost translator for Ramirez, who's going to have to learn English even quicker, although it is the world's second language. So hopefully she can pick it up pretty quick. Pass me the ball. That's it.
That's all we need. Hannah Hemp speaks Spanish as well, doesn't she? She fluent in Spanish as well, apparently.
Yeah. Wrong end of the pitch, though, really, isn't it? A lot of shouting.
She's got a big goal. She's got a big goal.
Yeah, I mean, just going back, Matt, to those March fixtures, I mean, it is the Arsenal one that really stands out, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's the one that almost the team have got to prove themselves. Like, if we beat Arsenal, and hopefully I'd like to beat them well, then that's the one that can really bring us confidence and go, right, we can beat these top teams. We've overcome the 4-1. We've effectively, at that point, I think it does make Arsenal's title race a little bit a lot harder. And arguably, I think at that point, all they can be is a disruptor to City. But it is a big game. And I think we not just the team, but us fans have really got to show up and make ourselves the 12th man for it and push our team for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Simon, you would echo that completely, I assume.
Yeah, just make sure me and Matt are nowhere near the podcast as well.
Yeah, make sure not to schedule you in for the same game well in advance. And normally I don't bother scheduling it, which would help. But see, I do things ahead of schedule and it comes back to bite me on the arse. I mean, let's remember as well, Matt, we are in the semi-final of the Conti Cup, in the quarter-final of the FA Cup. We are top of the WSL and we are the only English club in the Champions League. So it's not all bad, is it?
Oh, no. I think the amount of success that we've had over the last 4 or 5 years, we can't complain. We've been spoiled. And of course, we want to keep winning and keep winning and keep winning. Obviously, this year with Emma leaving, it's even more important that we want to just give her a good send-off. But we just need to almost trust in ourselves. I know it's hard coming from someone that's just been pessimistic the whole podcast long. But we do need to just trust in ourselves, and the players just need to believe in their own ability, because there is so much talent there. And I think we can do this. We can overcome these four competitions and we can get through. Yeah, we might have some steps that we go down on the way. We might lose a semi-final. We might lose a quarter-final, potentially. One of the two, hopefully not both. But it's about how we get up and how we deal with this. It's the sign and the show of champions.
Yeah, Simon, I mean, every club in the country would want to be in our position right now because no one is in the competitions that we're in. No club could lose Sam Kerr, Mia Fishman to ACLs and still have Mayra Ramirez, Maker Hermano, who we haven't mentioned, Kat Macario on the books. I mean, we are the club that everyone wants to be. And the title of tonight's show was Don't Look Back in Anger, and I think we can look forward positively still about what this season has to offer for us.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. We are. We're in everything. We couldn't be in a stronger position, really, could we? Perhaps we are spoiled. Just get that passport renewed and we're there. Bilbao, Old Trafford, Molineux, Wembley.
Yeah.
The Emma Hayes farewell tour.
I've got a christening the day after Bilbao. So I think that's off the cards anyway. But the others maybe. Or they're probably not modelling you for the Quantic Cup. That's a trek for a bad competition.
It's Easter as well, isn't it? Is that Easter Sunday?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know what day it is,
It
but
31st, isn't it? Yeah.
the day we got Tottenham, so that could be a change to the
Yeah.
fixture list, of course. Right, I think that is all we're gonna have time for tonight. My thanks to you, Matt, for joining us again.
No worries. It was happy. I'm happy to be on this podcast, best Chelsea women's podcast in the world. So happy to be on. Happy to be on, Simon, even if it does bring us bad luck.
Yeah, the competition's not very great, but we'll take it. Thanks, Matt. And Simon, of course, no thanks to you for the loss for Man City, but
Yeah,
thanks for joining us anyway.
sorry once again, everyone. And yeah, good to be on. Sort of cheered us up really, and we'll do it all again. Just not me and Matt.
Yeah, lessons learned by hopefully
Please.
everyone, yeah, myself included. We will be back not next week because there's no fixture, but we'll be back the week after that to look back at our WSL match with Leicester City, I think, and a little preview of the Conti Cup semi-final of Man City, with who I do not know, but I just know it won't be with Matt and Simon for sure. But it might be one of them, just not together. In the meantime, if you do enjoy what we do and you want to help support the show, please consider signing up to become one of our patrons. Our season ticket holders on there for £5 a month, so just the cost of a beer or a coffee. Get ad-free early listening. You get a free sticker after 3 months, and you also get access to our interviews with the likes of Tony Farmer, the man who created the Chelsea women's team, the current Liverpool head coach Matt Beard, and George Michaelas, who managed the team from 2002 to 2005. All that content is on our Patreon only. So if you want to help support the show, that is our way of saying thanks to you. The link for that is patreon.com/WentSmokingsMeadow. The link I'll put in the description. If I remember, thank you for listening. Thanks to those in Mixlr who joined in the show. As always, we'll be back very soon. And until then, from Kings Meadow to Wembley, keep the blue flag flying.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.